at Beaufort say, please, please come in and let me hear this because I really, really, really need to know that God's got me. Get your Bible out and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 14. You got your Bible, say amen. If you don't, say oh me. That's good. That's good. Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. As this God, put your hands this way, ask God for a special touch and anointing. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and you are on your throne and you're taking care of business. We know, God, right now, Lord, we got everything put in your hands. Lord, we thank you for touching Don. Lord, and I know, God, you can bring him, Lord, to a place of total healing, and we're believing that. And there's many other people in here that need that place of total healing, and we're believing for that. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint this service. Let nothing be said through strife or vain glory, but let everything be said for the glorification of your Son and the edification of the body. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, if you're not hereafter, say it with me, if you're not hereafter, what I'm hereafter, you'll be here after I'm gone. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right. Here we go. Y'all get ready for this. Look. When the store manager returned from lunch, he noticed the clerk's hand was bandaged. But before he could ask him about the bandage, the clerk had some very good news for him. Guess what, sir, the clerk said. I finally sold that terrible, ugly suit that we had for so long. Do you mean that repulsive pink and blue double-breasted thing, the manager asked? That's the one. That's great, the manager cried. I thought we'd never get rid of that monstrosity. That had to be the ugliest suit I've ever had. But tell me, why is your hand bandaged? Oh, the clerk replied, after I sold the guy that suit, his C&I dog bit me. That's why he bought that suit. Amen. 12 steps to finding peace, recovery. Now, again, we got one more week of this, then we're going right into 12 steps, and please bring somebody with you. It's not only 12 steps for people that may have an addiction problem. It is for every living soul. Amen. I can't stress that enough. I go to the 12 steps all the time when I find myself burdened by anything. I go to the 12 steps, and the 12-step program helps me because I learned it's not just for the addict. It's not just for those that are bound by alcohol or drugs or whatever the substance is. If it's gambling, whatever, you don't have to be bound by that, but it's not just for that. It's also for every living creature, because we all find ourselves in the same predicament time again, and we have to rely on God's strength and God's power. So you don't need to look down. I know you don't, but you don't need to look down at anybody that's doing any type of, you know, recovery alive or celebrate recovery or NA or A. Don't look down on them, because actually they are trying earnestly to get beyond. And the sad part is there's many Christians that need to earnestly get beyond, and they're not. You know, and they'll point their fingers at others because they've got some kind of substance, not realizing your bad attitude can be worse than that substance. Amen? So it's very important. So we got it. This is so awesome. I'm going to do just a couple of slides from last week because it is so good. I just, you know, have you ever had collards and how good they were the night you had them? And then the next day or so, they warmed them up in a bowl and put them on a plate, and the pigtails warmed up. And they were better warmed up than they were when they were first cooked. Some of y'all going, nope. Yep, they're better when they first warmed up. I mean, they're better warmed up than when they were first cooked. All right. Well, that's the same way this is. We're warming some of this up from last week, and that is the very first one, step one. Then we're going to step number two. So again, I'm going to sit down. We're going to pull the plow. Y'all say, let the plow down, Pastor. All right. I'm glad you asked that. Finding beauty in your brokenness. I promise you, there's nobody in this place that does not have a broken area in your life. Or you may have it all together. You may be doing great in life. But every last one of us has a broken spot. Every last one of us have broken pieces. And so that's why it's so much easier when you go into a detention center or you go into a prison, it's easier to minister to those guys in there when you realize it's only by the grace of God you're not in there too. Amen? It's only by the grace of God. So finding beauty in brokenness. Remember this. This is probably one of the best statements about this whole thing. Recovery is not just about healing what's broken. Amen? It's not just about that. There's broken stuff. But it's also about rediscovering what was never lost. And that was your God-given worth. No matter how you feel about it, no matter how you think you are, God knows how you are. And God still decided to love you. I want to put this up on the board. Let's see if I can find it. I'm going to put this up. I want to put this up on the board. I'm probably going to put it up there next week somewhere. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. When God put, y'all get ready. Y'all ready? When God put a calling on your life, He already factored in your stupidity. Yeah. That ain't all. I ain't through yet. When God put a calling on your life, He already factored in your stupidity. That's the most comforting thing I've ever heard. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. All right. So here we go. Here's a couple of slides from last week, and then we're jumping right in. All right, and I'm going to go through it kind of quickly. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous or wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Beneath the beauty beneath the brokenness. You know, Psalm 139 reminds us that we are wonderfully complex. We are mysteriously and marvelously made and deeply known by God. So remember this, even when you feel shattered, God sees a masterpiece. Amen? Even when you feel like you got nothing to offer and your tank is totally drained, God sees a masterpiece beneath the mess. And this is the heart of recovery. Embracing God's design for us that can lead to restoration, renewal, and hope. So, point number one, and after we get to just a little bit of this, and we're going to point number two, point number three next week, then we go to 12 steps. All right, number one. You're not a mistake. Wow. Some of you all your life have heard your mama, when she's talking in a joking way, go, that's our little mess up. I got people in my family that I hear their parents go, that's my little mess up. In other words, I didn't mean to have that child. You know, I had them later in life, or I had them here, that's my little mess up. Or I hear fathers and mothers tell their children, you'll never amount to anything. I've heard that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And even they've come to me when I'm ministering to their children and go, I'm praying for you because they're not going anywhere. They're actually going down. That's sad. That is so sad to hear something like that. But let me tell you something. Here's the thing you got to understand is the psalmist didn't say, I used to be marvelous. My bass took my shirt off. I'm going to put my shirt back on. I knew I was feeling a breeze in there somewhere. Y'all felt that bass. That bass weighs like 40 pounds. I mean, that's a solid wood. Ready? I used to be marvelous. No, he says your workmanship is marvelous and how well we know it. Everybody in here, you are a classic. You are a masterpiece. Some of us are even antique. Amen. So you know the difference? You know how you can tell if you're young or you're starting to get old? You know how you can tell? If you're young and you fall in public, people laugh at you. If you're old and you fall in public, people rush to your side. Can I help you, sir? One night I was at Food Line and my knees were hurting, but I was trying to get down to the very bottom shelf, to the very back, to get the peanuts. And I had three young guys trying to be good. They come up to me and I'm not kidding. My wife heard it on the phone and said, don't worry, buddy. We'll get them for you. One side of them wanted to thank them, and the other side of them wanted to spank them. All right. So, recovery begins when we stop believing that our pain defines us. Your pain will lie to you. Your pain will have you believe in all kinds of lies about you and lies about others. Many times when I'm talking, especially to inmates, what is your pain telling you? What is the lie that you're listening to? What is the lie that you're tattooing on your brain from this pain? Addiction, trauma, depression, these are not your identity. They are just chapters in your story. So one last one, and then we're going into today. Believe it or not, we went a lot further in this last week. We dove in this thing. Look, God's craftsmanship didn't disappear when you fail. That's awesome. It's still there, and it's waiting to be reclaimed. It's right there. It's right there in front of you. I want y'all to say this with me. Ready? Y'all say this with me. Here it goes. I am not my past. I am God's workmanship. Say that with me. I am not my past. I am God's workmanship. Amen? So here's number two. We're starting fresh now. Ready? Point number two. I love this. In the New Living Translation, it says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. 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 Think about that word. Complex. Now, point number two. Complexity is not a curse. It's a calling. If I was to ask you how are things, some people say, well, they're okay. They're good. Yeah. And you know, going, well, they're just throwing up a blanket answer. If you ask me how was I doing, the best answer I could give you is complex. If I ask you how you're doing, the best answer you could give me is, well, I'm kind of complex. Because I promise you, if you peel back the layers, there's good, there's bad, there's ugly. There's things that you are supercharged and doing great, and there's others that you ain't doing so good on. And so we're layered. We're intricate. We're unique. And listen to this. I'm about to get up. This is too good. Ready? I'll tell you something about recovery. Recovery is the same thing like the grieving cycle, and that is recovery often feels messy. When you're trying to get your act together, when you're trying to let God take over, when you're trying to get, you know, I walked into the heroin unit one day, and one of the guys looked at me and said, can you please talk to us? I said, well, that's what I was here for. And they said, no, we got a special request. I said, what? And they said, there was a guy in here last week from another organization and told us that we had to watch out because we're always going to be an addict, and if we even touch it, we've lost. And I went, what? See, they forgot about the messy part. And I said, let me show you something. I went up on the board and I put lapse and I put relapse. I said, now, if you happen to blow it one night and you happen to take a drink or whatever it is, take a toke, whatever, one night, but you realize you did wrong and you ask God to forgive you, that's a lapse. It's a lapse. But if you go back into active addiction, that's a relapse. Okay? So if you happen to mess up one night or one day while you're trying to get through this mess, this messy thing called recovery, and when it's messy, it's because of things like this. If you find yourself one day, maybe your problem is you're a gossip. And your part of recovery is learning how not to be a gossip or having a bad attitude or having a bad temper. And one night you just blow it. And you say, there I am, right back again. I thought I was in recovery and I've done blown it. No, remember, lapse, relapse. If it's something you did and you ask God to help, relapse. If you get to the part where you don't even care, and just going back in, that's relapse. That's when you're in big, bad trouble. Understand this about healing. Healing is not linear. What I mean linear is I go to step one, then I go to step two, then I go to step three. You know, I tell people about the grieving cycle, and they'll say, well, right now I'm in step number three. I can't wait till I get to step number four. And I go, that's not how it works. I said, some people have five stages, some have seven stages. But either way, whatever stages you want, you don't just go one, two, three, four, five like dialing the phone. It goes back and forth because your life is so intrinsic, I can't even say it, complex. There you go. Your life is so complex, and the problems that you go through and the triggers are there, and Satan's happy to pull them triggers. So, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Sometimes you're in seven, sometimes you're in one, sometimes you're in five, sometimes you're in three, and sometimes in 5 minutes you've gone through all seven twice. So, healing isn't linear. So don't beat yourself up if your partner or your friend, they seem to be well ahead of you, and you're going, why, how'd they get to step number five, and I'm still about here at step number two? Because you don't know. That person may be at step five today and step one tomorrow. So do not beat yourself up over that. It's because God's got you. Complexity that God made us is part of our beauty. And so you got to understand that God made us this way. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect life. How many remember Rosanna Dana, the great philosopher? Rosanna Dana, back when Saturday Night Live used to be funny. It wasn't about politics. It was about just funny. And Rosanna Dana would get up and tell the news. And now she told the news, she said, just goes to show you that it's always something. In our life, there's always something. A baby gets sick, your spouse gets upset, you lose your job, you find a better job, whatever. There's so much going on. So you got to understand that when you are wonderfully complex. God knows this when he made you. He doesn't look down and you go, oops, I can't believe they are stumbled right there. He already knew it. Remember, he already took into account all the stupidity when he called you. Amen? So, the only person that's getting upset about this is you because you didn't surprise God. Amen? So now, God doesn't shy away from your, get ready, God doesn't shy away from your tangled emotions. He doesn't shy away when you ask him questions. I hear people all the time go, you're not supposed to question God. Yeah, you can. It's okay. He's a big God. He's got a big shoulder. Job asked questions. I ask questions. All the time. Tangled emotions, your questions, and your setbacks. You see, he designed you with all this depth. He designed you so that you could flourish through him and he could do something with you. There's no AI that can compare to what you got. There's no computer that can compare to what you got. We're so complex. We're so in-depth. So when you go to God, no matter what you got going on, I promise you, he's not intimidated. Take it to him. You need help? Take it to him. You're not going to intimidate him. You're not going to make him mad. You're not going to run him away because he already knows. He is not waiting to find out. He's waiting for you to find out. And he's waiting for you to call him for help because he's there. So here's the application in this. Ready? Don't rush your healing. Man, oh man, we try to compare ourselves with others. And we think we see somebody else getting ahead of us and their healing's going faster and faster, not realizing they may not be as healthy as you think they are. And don't rush your healing trying to keep up with somebody else. Number two, embrace the process. Embrace it. Is it easy? No. But I promise you, look, did it happen overnight? No. Because it didn't happen overnight, you're not going to fix it overnight. Amen? Remember that, because it didn't happen overnight, it's not going to be fixed overnight. So don't beat yourself up. And then, God is working in every layer. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I had someone all the time find out one of their children were doing something they were not approving of. And they said, I can't believe it. And I said, well, it's there. It's obvious. And they said, what do I do? I said, well, just be ready, because if you start peeling back the onion, you may find something that's even worse. So you just go ahead and peel and trust God for wisdom in the process. But the biggest thing is, you hold that child and you tell that child that they're yours and you're not going to leave them. You'll be by their side no matter what. That's the biggest thing, because Satan wants you to push them away. Draw them to you. Draw them. Amen? So look. I'm going to give you some people. Who's that? Anybody guess? That's Joseph. Okay, Joseph, Genesis 37 through 50. Now, you talk about complexity. Wow. This guy goes from the prophecy that the stars and the heavens are going to bow down to him, and the sheaves of corn, all this going to bow down to him. The whole world's going to bow down. So he goes from the prophecy to the pit. Wait a minute. God, you told me you were going to use me. And now I'm in a pit. This morning's mighty army. How many looked at this morning's mighty army? Man, oh man, this morning's mighty army. Let's see here. This morning's mighty army. Joseph went from the pit to the palace. Don't quit in the pit. You're still on schedule for the palace. You're still there. It's just not your time yet. So, they go from the prophecy to the pit. Then from the pit, he's sold into slavery and he goes to Potiphar. While he's at Potiphar, Potiphar's wife wants him really, really, really bad. And he will not let down his guard and give in to her. And so as he's trying to pull away from her, tears his clothes, and the wife, instead of being finding out that she was trying to get him, she charged him with rape. So now he's in prison for rape. And let me show you, we like to think about, you know, how marvelous it might have been because he had favor when he was in the jail. He had all this favor before God and all that. Well, let me turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. I want to show you how great it was to be in that jail. Psalm 105. And let's go ahead and look at 17. Psalm 105. You understand something. Now, Joseph had a prophecy, but he wound up in the pit. Then he winds up in Potiphar's house. Then he winds up in prison for rape, and he didn't do it. And when he gets out of it, when he thinks he's getting out, the baker's going to tell. The baker forgets, and he's got two more years. So this guy is spending like 12 years, 15 years of his life in jail. But look at this. 105:17. Look at 105:16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. Now we're talking about this. This is God. Okay? And verse 17 says, but he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Wait a minute. Wait a second. Joseph has the prophecy, and he winds up in a pit. Wow. And when he thinks everything's going wrong and everything's bad, God said that he sent him there. Wow. Sometimes we get everything so wrong and so out of kilter. We're thinking, well, if God really loved him and we gave him that prophecy, that they would bow down to him and everything would be good and everybody would come to him. No! He was sold as a slave and then accused of rape and in a prison, and the Bible said God sent him there. Some of y'all right now are going, God, you can't be in this. There ain't no way you're in this, God. Do you see what I'm going through? Do you understand the pain that I'm feeling right now? Can you see this, God? Are you watching me? So the Bible said, so Joseph was sold for a servant whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. In other words, here it is. They're in prison. They bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar. Wait a minute! Where's the prophecy at? There ain't nobody bowing down to him. He's bowing down to everybody else. He's got a collar, a metal collar around his neck, and he's got shackles around his feet. This is God's man, but the Bible said that God sent him there. Wow. Kind of changes things, don't it? The Bible says in verse 19, until the time came to fulfill his word, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Wow. How many realize that some of you in here right now, you're thinking everything's going haywire and everything's falling all to pieces and God obviously doesn't love you and he obviously is tired of you and he's punishing you not knowing that he's testing you. Because when the test gets through, something powerful's coming. How many know when you take a test in school that the instructor's silent? A lot of times when I took tests, the instructor left the room, especially in college. Leave the room. So I couldn't talk to them, couldn't ask a question. I just had to figure out the stuff that they've been teaching. And here's Joseph. The instructor's silent, and he's being tested. But the Bible tells us that he did good while he was in there. And after the king had a dream, toward the end when the king had a dream after all those years, and the butler remembers him and says he can answer it. Look at verse 20. The king sent and loosened him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go, and made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. I like the NLT. Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household, and he became ruler over all the king's possessions. And it says in verse 22, he could instruct the king's aides as he pleased and teach the king's advisors. Amen. And so, when the time came, that morning, he's sleeping on straw. And that night, he's sleeping on satin. Just that quick. Don't give up in the middle. Don't give up in the pit. Don't think that God has forgot you because you're in the pit. It's in the pit that you're tested. It's in the pit that you learn. It's in the pit that something special happens. I've seen more people grow in the pit than ever grow on the mountaintop. You know why? Because in the valley, that's where all the good soil runs down to, in the valley. In the pit, you learn, you grow. So here's Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, in prison. He'll eventually elevated to save the nation. He saved his own people. He said, you intended it to harm me. Told his brothers, you intended it to harm me, but God intended it for your good. Wow, some of y'all in here right now, you're wondering, why am I going through all this? Not realizing what you're going through is going to help a whole lot more people than you ever could imagine. And here's the message here. Joseph's life was complex. It was painful, but God used every twist for a greater purpose. Some of y'all in here right now, you don't understand this complexity that you're going through, and you're trying to figure out, why am I having all these problems? You got to realize something. Just like with Jonah, sometimes your problems, even if you feel like you're in the belly of hell, like Jonah, your problems are actually your vehicle to get you to where God needs you. He got Joseph to the prison so that the Pharaoh could call him out. He got Jonah back to Nineveh. Hold on. It's not over. Look at somebody and say, it's not over. Got a couple more people I want to do. Who's that guy? I'll give y'all a guess. One guess. That's David going out to Goliath. So we talked about Joseph. Now we're going to talk about David. David was a very powerful man. He was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He was a poet. He was a king. Very, very powerful. Powerful man. But also he's a man who committed grave sins. He was a very powerful warrior and a pitiful dad. He was a powerful king and at times was a pitiful king. I remember the first time I read straight through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and I was reading the life of David. And I got crushed, and I got encouraged. It crushed me because I was thinking, this guy can't be doing all this mess and cause all these problems. But it encouraged me. Because I learned, you know what? God can use me after all this. After all the mess I've been through, after all the stuff I've done, God can use me. And God can use you. So, not only did he commit all these grave sins, he was still called by God. God already knew it. And what did God call him? A man after his own heart. Actually, he probably did worse than Saul. But God blessed him and didn't bless Saul. Why? Because Saul followed his own way and followed his own heart and mind. And David followed God's heart and his mind. Saul repented himself. Just like Judas. But David would go to God and he would humble himself and he would ask God for forgiveness. If you look in the Psalms, David's always, always, always getting in trouble. But he's always calling on God and he's always asking God to step in for him and to make the difference. And see, the message here is for every last one of us as we're trying to go through our recovery is complexity doesn't cancel your calling. Just because you got caught up with the substance doesn't cancel your calling. Just because you got caught up with your mouth doesn't cancel your calling. Just because you got caught up with an attitude doesn't cancel your calling. God still has something for you to do. God works through every layer of your story. One more. Let's do one more. Y'all want one more? All right, let's do one more. Naaman the leper. Y'all turn to 2 Kings. Chapter 5. Just one verse. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. Man, everybody wants to be like him. Until you read that next little part. But he also was a leper. Let's look at it in the NLT. The king of Aram had high admiration for Naham, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Wow. He was a very powerful man. Very, 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 very powerful man. But nobody wanted to be like him. Why? See, a powerful commander, plagued with leprosy. So he goes to the man of God and asks the man of God to heal him, come out and say something. And he says, you tell him to go down to Jordan and dip 7 times. He goes, do you realize how nasty that water is? I got a bottle. One of my people went to Israel and they brought me back a great little big bottle of water out of the Jordan. And I was expecting to find salamanders and frogs in it. It was so nasty. And I poured a little bit for the baptisms over the next year or so. I kept pouring a little bit so they could say they were baptized in Jordan's water. He said, y'all got to be kidding. I'm a powerful man. I'm so powerful. Just come out and say something. But what he had going on, even with leprosy, he had pride in his heart. There's people right now that need recovery. And God is wanting to give it to them. But they got pride in their heart. And they got it all figured out. God, you just say the word, I'll be healed. God, I want to do it this way. And God said, nope, that's not how it's going to happen. And so you walk around in that terrible state, waiting for God to heal you. And God's saying, we're not on your time and your schedule. We're on my time and my schedule. And so he had to humble himself. And he followed that very strange command, dip himself 7 times in the Jordan. Message. Healing often comes through unexpected, humbling paths. God honors obedience in the midst of our complexity. Wow. Wow, that's powerful. And I'm going to show a picture. Did y'all know I took a picture of y'all yesterday? Every last one of you. I'm going to put all y'all's picture up right now. Y'all ready? Every last one of you, including me. Get ready. Here we are. That's us. You know what that is? Somebody tell me what that is. What kind of art is that? Mosaic. Mosaic art. I've got a picture. I've got a mosaic one of Jesus on the cross in mirrors. And I'm going to put it up on the wall and put a question underneath it. Can you see yourself in this? Mosaic. That's how complex we are. So many bits and so many pieces. There's no such thing. I mean, I love that song. One of my favorite songs in this world is by Lynyrd Skynyrd. How many remember Simple Man? I love it. Love it. But you know what? Nobody's simple. Nobody. Everybody has got so many bits and so many pieces. Mosaic art. Mosaic are made from broken pieces of glass or tile. Here's the kicker. Individually, these pieces seem useless. Individually, they actually seem needless. But when the artist gets to working and puts these pieces where it needs to be, wow, they can form some breathtaking images. Kind of like these stained glass windows. That's a mosaic. Look at it, so to speak. That's a mosaic window, stained glass window. They take all these bits and pieces and look at what they've made out of it. And some of us don't realize that God's taking all your broken pieces and He's taking every broken piece, the pieces that you hate, that you want to hide, that you want nobody to see. I got the aggravated Monday with my doctor. He gave me a physical and said, man, your blood works perfect. Perfect! He said, you don't look 65, you don't act 65. I said, the best thing you got going for you is your brain. I said, well, doc, tell me about all this. Tell me about that. I said, it didn't happen until you changed my blood pressure medicine. He looked at my blood pressure medicine and said, it's on time, it's going. And I said, but look at this. You know what he did? He said, come here. And he took my skin and he pulled it up. And he said, David, you're getting old. I never wanted to pop a doctor right in the mouth so bad. So, right here, I like to hide it. I had one here one day because I've been working on a car, I think, or an air conditioner one, and I had a bruise all the way up here. And I go in the heroin unit, and I'm wearing a jacket. I take off the jacket, and I was wearing short sleeves. And everybody quit talking to me. And they kept looking at my arm. I said, what are y'all looking at? And I looked down, and it said, how long you been shooting up? So you know what? You can try to hide it, but it winds up being actually good because you can tell somebody else is going through it. It'll be all right. It don't hurt. It'll be okay. It just shows you how marvelous I am. God takes all these bits and pieces, these broken pieces, and He puts it together. Here's the application. God is the master artist. Your brokenness is a part of His masterpiece. Don't ever think because you're too broken for God to use you. Then finally, Brandon, come up here and get ready to play something, bro. Now I'm going to throw in some psychology. 404, 505, 606. Because God is the author of psychology too, and science. Neuroscience has tested people's brains. Now, sometimes it's too far gone. Sometimes it's gone to the brainstem, and there's nothing that can be done. But more often than not, the brain can rewire itself. Did you know that? The brain can rewire itself. It's called neuroplasticity. Studied it a lot. About the brain rewiring itself and how you handle PTSD and handle CTSD and all these things and the neuropaths and all this stuff. But the biggest thing is the brain can rewire itself to the positive. It can rewire itself to the negative. And you want to retire yourself to the positive. You know, even after trauma or addiction, healing is possible. Danny, my good brother Danny from Williamston. Danny Williams, he came here early on. He's dead now. But he was so burnt out on drugs that he couldn't even talk. He couldn't carry on a good conversation with you. He'd been burnt out and burnt out and burnt out on crack and cocaine. He was so, and he used to work with his dad building electronic systems. And now he could hardly tie his shoe. He's burnt. One night we were having a singing. And y'all have heard of, y'all all have heard this, most of you anyway. And in that singing, this guy comes walking in and his eyes are looking weird. And he walks down the aisle. And our church is packed. And when people saw him, they turned their head the other way. And I went, what? I got a church full of former drug addicts and prostitutes, and they're turning their head to this guy. He walks down. He goes to the altar. And I said, somebody help me pray, and nobody got up. I was blown away. I've never seen that ever, especially in that church. And I walked up to him, and I put my arm around him, and I held him. His head was down. He was crying. I had my arm on him. And I said, what can I do for you? He said, you just did it. And he gets up, and he walks out. I had no idea who it was. After service, a bunch of people ran up to me and said, do you know who that was? And I said, no. I said, but I can tell you who, I don't know who his name was, but I know it was a man in need of God. And he come down, and I prayed. I'm not even sure what he prayed for. He just said, I did it. When I went down to him and showed him love and compassion and put my arm around him, I didn't even know what to pray for. I just said, God, give this man what he needs. And they explained he was the Saul of Tarsus of Williamston. And there was not a drug dealer in Williamson want to tangle with this guy. He was so mean and so bad. He had served prison time for robbing a drugstore. Bad, bad, bad guy. His mama has a heart attack. His daddy gives him his mama's pocketbook to go call his brothers and sisters and all those people. He goes in and finds all her credit cards and goes and cashes them out and goes and has a coke binge. While his mama could have been dying at the hospital. That about a week later, I'm in Shamrock. I'm in a Shamrock eating with one of my guys and this other guy's businessman that I did not know. And so my guy introduced me to this guy. He's the guy that owned this electronics place and burglar alarm systems and stuff. And I said, how you doing? And I'm talking with this guy. And this guy that walked down the aisle looking like a wild man walked in, and at the back of the store of the Shamrock, hollered to his dad, hey, Dad! And his dad went. And he said, that guy right there don't know it yet. He pointed at me. He said, he's going to be my pastor. And he said, I got to go to the bathroom, Dad. Goes in the bathroom. His dad looks at me and says, I'm going to pray for you, son. He said, because that guy will never amount to anything. He come up and ate. We talked. He started coming to church. Could hardly tie his shoe. And we watched God work on him and work on him and work on him and work on him. Within 6 months, he was teaching a Sunday school class. Within 6 months, he was going to me everywhere. It was a powerful stuff going on with him. He was going to Pitt Detention Center, all these places. Within a year, he was back working with his dad, building complex electronic equipment. God gave his brain back. When Bear and I had to go places, I'd get Danny, and he'd watch DC and Danny. He'd watch Bethany. I trusted that guy with my very life. He was so awesome. And that same guy that nobody would talk to and was scared of and hardly could tie his shoe, God gave him back his mind. It gave him back his heart. Gave him new life. And I watched God over and over and over again lift that man up and do things for him that even the government said was taken away from him for life, and they were giving it back to him. But I watched. You can call it neuroplasticity, or you just call it the power of God. But I watched his brain go back and really, really, really do something with him. Me and him did electrical work together. We wired up my house. We wired up Daniel's house. We did all kinds of stuff together. And when I first met him, I'm not sure he even knew which end was up, which end was down. But I watched God change that man. Anything is possible if you give it to God. Yes, we're wonderfully complex. God designed your mind with the ability to recover and renew. That's why when you're trying to make a big decision, go sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. You're thinking, that's just giving you time. You know what? When you sleep on it, you know what happens is when you sleep on it and you go to sleep, as you go to sleep, it's like hooking up to a vacuum. You go to sleep and it sucks out all the poison and stuff out of your mind, and it renews your mind. And then you wake up going to bed thinking, I don't know how to fix this. And you wake up in the morning and you got the answer. Because you recovered and you renewed. Man, our God is awesome. Isaiah 60 and 1. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. You're never too far gone that God cannot use you. You're never too far gone that God can't give it back, whatever Satan's taken. Matter of fact, the Bible says if the thief's found, he has to give back sevenfold what he took. I watched and do that with Danny, because I watched Danny before we got his license back. He'd be riding his bike around town, and his daddy would give him blank checks to go take care of business for him. The guy's riding a bicycle in town with blank checks in his pocket. What? A couple years before, he told me he couldn't be trusted and he'd never amount to anything. Now he's riding around with blank checks in his pocket from his daddy to take care of stuff. God is awesome. Somebody say it. God is awesome. You're not too far gone. You're not too far gone. God's got this. Let's all stand. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here today . Number one, you know you're not where you need to be with God. You know that. Nobody's got to beat you over the head with the Bible. Nobody's got to chase you down. You know that you're not where you need to be with God. You're not as close as you should be. When nobody's looking around, everybody's eyes are closed, put that hand up so I can pray for you. I'm not where I need to be, and I need God to help me. Touch them right now, Lord. Touch them, touch them, touch them. Maybe you're here today, and Satan has told you that you're too far gone. That you tried it before. That you've tried to work it. And it hadn't worked and it never will. You might as well go ahead and give it up. Because nothing's going to change. That's your injury telling you lies. That is all the things that you're going through telling you lies. Remember, this is complex. This hurts. And there's trauma in everybody's life. And that trauma will lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. God's got this. And God wants to do something with you in a very powerful way. And if God weren't going to use you, I promise you, if God was not going to use you, you wouldn't be here right now. If you're here right now and you're needing God to help you to heal from trauma, you need God to help you heal from drama. You're needing God to help you heal from all kinds of things so you can go ahead and recover. But nobody's looking around. We just slip that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you're an all-powerful God. I thank you that you see me as a mosaic. You know all my ins and outs. You know everything I'm going through. And you still call me child. I ask you right now to help me to look to you, to trust you, to help rebuild me, to restore my hope, to restore my dignity, to restore my trust in you and myself and others. I thank you for something powerful happening right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. Go ahead. There's one more part of this message, then we go into the 12 steps. God's got this. Come on here, bro. Okay. Good, good, good. Stand for Don. Lord, right now, God, we need you, Lord, more than ever, to touch Don. Lord, he needs you, Lord, in a very powerful way. Reach down in his lungs. Reach down in his body. Lord, remove this cancer. Remove this pneumonia. Lord, touch his chest. Let him feel better. And Lord, when I see him today, Lord, let him be sitting up talking. I thank you for that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you got this. And we trust you 100% in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, God, to touch Don and heal him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Y'all guys are awesome. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, bro. God's good. All the time. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom.